Morning, everybody. It's always dangerous to come to a preach with a bag like this because people make assumptions that there are goodies inside. There are some good things in here, but I'm sorry, I haven't got anything to give out. So please don't boo me. But I realise I may have raised expectations slightly, but what's in the bag will become clear soon. Well, Happy New Year. It's absolutely brilliant to see everybody. Like me, I'm sure, it's such an incredible thing at Christmas to come together and to worship and to sing carols and to hear about the Christmas story as we did so wonderfully, and to share in that joy of the truth of Jesus come to us as Emmanuel. And I absolutely love it. It is a bit of a mixed time sometimes. I'm sure some of you share that with me, that there is such joy, there is such hope, there is such a richness and a fullness, and yet I am aware, and I know myself, it can be a difficult time too. It can be a time where we struggle. It can be a time with anxiety. It can be lots of different things. But when I last was here and I was preaching, I remember I preached about it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And since then, it's always that thing when you bring a message like that, you boy, does God give you an experience of what you've preached afterwards. And it has been like that. And I know for many of us, we can relate that that Christmas is like that. It's an amazing time. It's also, it can be a difficult time as well. But it's wonderful to be here. I always love the sort of the first service of the new year where we come back together and we meet together and we raise our voices as we have this morning and our hearts in worship. And what a wonderful morning we are having together and with the Lord. God is with us today. God is with us today. We know his presence here in this very room, in our hearts, where we are gathered worshiping him. And I know Margaret shared this last week, but there are generations of people who've worshiped the same God that we know today in many different times, in many different places. And in this time now, where we are in 2024, across the world, there are Christians of many different backgrounds, many different cultures, many different languages, who are all worshiping God with us. Isn't that wonderful? You know, we are joining together, as Sally prayed about the angels. We're joining with the angels who are worshiping. We're also joining with many others, other brothers and sisters across the world who are worshiping together. And it's so wonderful to know that truth, that God is here with us in all his fullness. God has called all of us with the same central calling, to know him and to make him known. That's what he's called all of us to do. We may have many different callings individually. We may have, and we do have, our own walk with God, and we're called to different places and different people. But we have that central calling to know him and to make him known. The world around us as we know it is fading away. It's decaying. But we who trust in the Lord are becoming more alive every day. So even though the world around us and all its trappings and all its promises of life and all its promises of hope, even though all of that is fading away, we know a hope that doesn't fade. In fact, it becomes more real to us every single day because we know his abundant life. I've actually put that word in bold in my notes. His abundant life that is ever increasing in us. We know the abundance of his life. Now, the word abundance captures the essence of what I want to share today. My title is His Grace is More. His Grace is More. And the word abundance captures the essence of what I want to share because our God has a heart like no other. And he wants to bless us out of the abundance of who he is. Now, we as a life group, earlier in the year, we read from the book of James, which is quite an incredible book. Very challenging too, but also incredibly encouraging. And in James, he encourages us, and we've had this prayed this morning, and it's wonderfully come out in some of the songs as well, in an amazing way. But James encourages us that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I'm going to read that again. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And this wonderful verse, it reminds us that our every need is met perfectly in our God. Quite literally, whatever we need, our God will supply. It also means that everything we have that is good has come from God. It is impossible to get good from any other source. Anything that is truly good, anything that benefits us, anything that gives us life and fullness, it can only have come from God. We have no other source. We have no other supply. And the description here is important as well. It describes God as the Father of heavenly lights. Now that's really important. James reminds us of our relationship with God. He is our Father, and we are His children. It's very important that we know that, and we're reminded that He is our Father, and we are His children. But even more than this, a bit like Psalm 8 that came out this morning that Alan read, He's the God of the heavenly lights. He's the God who made the stars by the power of His word. He spoke the universe into being, and He placed the heavenly lights, the stars, above us, around us. He made the stars by the power of His word. Now, Sarah and I have started to read through Genesis this month, and it's always incredible to remember that God spoke the universe into being by the power of His word. You read these passages, which are so familiar, and yet there is this sense of wonder at the God that we worship, that He is a creator God, like no one else that we know. There is the briefest of lines in Genesis where it says, He made the stars also. But since the world was made, people have looked up at the stars in wonder. James is reminding us here in this passage that God is an all-powerful creator God. And most importantly, He does not change. You know, year in, year out, season in, season out, when we go through hard times, when we go through good times, when we go through a mixture of good and bad times, God does not change. He is always the same. And He does not change in His approach towards us, in His heart for us. We can be absolutely sure of that. Now, the stars themselves are amazing in that they last for billions of years. We cannot comprehend that length of time. God has made the stars, and they are there for such a long, long time. It's a good job that they are, by the way, or we'd be in quite a lot of trouble. But they're there for billions of years. But even they, even some of the most permanent things that we can imagine in the natural world around us, even they change over time and they burn out eventually. Again, as I say, not anytime soon, reassuringly for us. God does not. He does not change. He does not burn out. He does not lose anything of who He is. But He is always a God of abundance. Just to go with this verse that I've read in James, in Philippians 4, Paul writes, "My God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Our needs are great. Our needs are great, and so is our need for God in general. But He is great enough and big enough and abundant enough to meet every single one of our needs. More than this, He's able to meet our need at any time. You know, if we knew God and we knew that we could come to Him between 9 o'clock in the morning and 10 o'clock in the morning, that would be pretty good. You know, if we knew that every morning we could come to Him and just between 9 and 10, you know, we could give that hour of the day and we knew that we could come to Him and we could ask Him and He would give what we needed then, that'd be pretty good. But God's available all the time. There is never a second that will pass where He is not there. He is not available. He's not there to meet our need. We can go to God at any hour of the day or the day or night, and he will receive us and bless us. And any earthly help we might receive is simply incomparable to the abundant grace of knowing Jesus. I'm just going to go through several reasons for this. Well, earthly help that we find, first of all, is time dependent. You know, if I need my car fixing, I need to go to the garage at a certain time. I can't go any time of the day. As I've just said, God is not like that. We can go at any time. Earthly help is resource dependent. I might go to the supermarket for something and it might have sold out, like a couple of years ago when all the toilet paper was disappearing from the shelves and we couldn't get what we needed at certain times. But God does not run out. He is always, always our abundant help, our very present help in our time of need. We don't need to fear that he will ever fall short in his resources. Earthly help often depends on our own effort to receive it. If I want to go to the garage, I have to physically get in my car and drive there or push it or find some way to get it there. By the way, my car's fine at the moment. I'm not alluding to my car not being well, but I'm making the point that we often need to ask in the right way. We need to know the right person to go to. We might need to do some research first. With God, none of these restrictions apply. We don't need to put our own effort in to receive God. Now, we do need to go to him, believing him and taking him at his word. We do need to believe in his promises. But even with that, belief in God comes from God. Faith in God comes from God. We do not drum it up by our own efforts. If we do, then what we've built is not faith. But the faith that comes from God is given to us by our Father in heaven so that we can believe in him. Isn't that incredible? With earthly help, we often have to go for multiple needs to different places. You know, we wouldn't go to the garage to get our food. We wouldn't go to the supermarket to get our car sorted out. We need to go to multiple places. God is the one place we can go for all of our needs. He freely gives us all that we need, and we can come to him for everything we might possibly need. We find this ultimately in the person of Jesus. Without God, we were lost and without hope. Yet God met our need, our most important need, by coming in the person of Jesus to live a perfect life on our behalf, to die in our place, and to win a victory over death that we could never hope to accomplish in our own strength. The Father of the heavenly lights came to us as the light of the world. And it says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, he has called us out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Paul shares in Colossians 1 as well. It says that he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We now live in the kingdom of light. God has rescued us, but he hasn't left us in the same realm. We know this earthly realm. We know this natural realm that we live in every day. But in the Spirit, we have become alive and we have been transferred from the dominion of darkness to the kingdom of light. If I may, I'm just going to read from 1 Thessalonians as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And Paul goes into this point at great length. And he says, while people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. I've missed some bits out there, but we are children of the light. We've been transferred to the kingdom of light, and we are now children of the day, children of the light. He has taken us from one place to another. More than this, as well as us being transferred from darkness into light, so that the light is around us, in 2 Corinthians, Paul shares that God has shone his light into our hearts. So while we have been transferred to a realm of light, God has shone his light into our hearts, into our very being. So that we now have, as Paul puts it, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. What is the purpose of light? Why do we have light? Well, there's lots of reasons that we could think of. But chiefly, light exists to reveal things to us so we can see them more clearly, so we can perceive them for what they are. In the kingdom of light that we've been brought into, the light there is chiefly there to reveal the Father to us in the face of Christ. It's to reveal Jesus. That's why we're in the kingdom of light. He is illuminated, and it is revealed to us as we trust in him and as we follow him, who he is, his greatness, his glory, his majesty. When we sing, I once was blind, but now I see, in the song Amazing Grace, we're not singing just about being able to physically see or be able to see things more clearly around us, although that can be true. We're singing about the fact we can now see Jesus for who he is, because we had no hope of doing so before he called us and saved us. The light illuminates Jesus and magnifies him to us. We can be eternally thankful that God has revealed the face of Christ to us, because he meets every single one of our needs and the great need that is within us to be with God and to be in his presence. We were made to be in the presence of God. That's our purpose and our great hope. By coming to us and shining his light into our hearts, God has changed us and is changing us. He has dealt and is dealing with our sinful nature, nailing our sinful nature to the cross where he gave his life for us. And he's raised us up to be with him, giving us a brand new nature and making us a temple of the Holy Spirit. God now dwells within us, and the Word teaches us that we are now being transformed from glory to glory. We now know an eternal relationship with Jesus, and all of our needs are met in him. He's given us a new nature, a new heart. We're new creations. I love speaking at New Year, because it's all about the new that Christ has brought us. Everything in him is new. It is fresh. As well as knowing the light of the kingdom of God, we also experience the joy of being planted in him when we come to know him. In Psalm 1, David writes, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, in which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." As well as being children of the day here in this room today, we are also those who've been planted in Jesus. It's an incredible image, and it shows the growth that comes from us being in Christ. Now, just a little bit of participation here. Put your hand up if you love trees. I thought we'd get a good turnout then. I hope anybody doesn't really hate trees, but there we go. Now, Sarah and I absolutely love trees. We talk about it quite often. And I know that many of you, well, I know now, many of you do, you put your hands up. Now, if I was to ask you, what's the thing you love most about trees? we'd probably all say something different. But love them or not, we definitely need them. Without trees and other plants, we'd have no oxygen. We wouldn't be able to breathe. I looked into this, and I was amazed at how many things that trees do, and I can be corrected on this afterwards if anybody wants to. But as well as oxygen that trees provide, they also hold the earth together with their roots. Without roots, all the soil would erode away, and we wouldn't have any stability in the ground. Trees also make the soil good. They provide many nutrients to the soil, so that other things can grow, so other plants benefit from trees. Trees also regulate the water in the atmosphere. I didn't know any of this, by the way. It was incredible. So trees regulate the amount of water. They give out, I think it's called diffusion, they give out water into the atmosphere and actually help to regulate the amount of rainfall. Without trees, we'd be in a lot of trouble. As well as all of this, they provide homes for many animals as well. And they also provide protection for many animals and plants, and for us too. They're incredible. I do have a story involving a tree from my own life, some of you are chuckling, that I'm sure many of you know, and I'm happy to discuss it with you over coffee if you want. I'm not going to go into it now. It does involve my car as well, and my car really was in trouble then. But if you want to ask me about the tree story, please do afterwards. I'm not going to tell it now. But trees are incredible. And in Psalm 1, David likens us to trees planted by streams of water. Now, just as trees start out as seeds planted in the soil, tiny seeds, we begin as newborn babies planted in Christ. So in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." We've been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of an imperishable seed. Isn't that incredible? His word within us, the living and enduring word of God that is within us, is imperishable. Now, just as the seeds of a tree contain everything that is needed for the growth within them, we're born again with the imperishable word of God within us. Now, as tree, I've learned a lot from this, you can tell, but as tree seeds sprout, and then they grow into seedlings, then saplings, then mature trees, then ancient trees, we were born again into Christ so that we can grow in him. We grow and change over time. And just as trees only grow up to the extent that their roots go down, we also grow and mature in Christ in direct proportion to the deepening of our relationship with him. We only grow in God in proportion to the deepening of our relationship with him. Methods and techniques may be good, and they may help us in different ways, but methods and techniques will not get us to a growth of relationship in God on their own. Earthly disciplines will not get us there on their own. It is only through a deepening trust, a deepening reliance upon Jesus, and the death of our reliance upon ourselves that we can grow. It's as we grow with God in our relationship, our dependence, our reliance on him, our recognizing our need for him, that's how we grow in God and how we develop maturity. Now, seeds have a really tough exterior. It's a good job they do, because if they didn't, then all the goodness within the seed would be in trouble. It would be harmed by the stuff outside. And the tough exterior protects all the goodness within. Like that, we have a tough exterior. And even when we're born again for the first, and we know Jesus for the first time, we have this tough exterior of the flesh, of our earthly selves. I'm not talking our physical bodies here. I'm talking about our earthly way of doing things, of the flesh that we lived in before we came to know Jesus. And it's tough. But like what happens with the seeds, our outer selves need to be broken so that the Spirit of God within us can be fully released. We don't naturally just flow in the things of God, but he brings us through difficulties and trials, so that our outer selves can be broken and the Spirit of God can be released in us and we can grow. The other thing is, one of the most interesting things about trees is that the age, there's age classifications, which I went through earlier. There's seeds, they sprout, they become seedlings, they become saplings, they become mature trees, they become ancient trees, and then I think they start to decay. But actually, one of the most interesting things is that the age classification and its state of growth cannot be determined purely from how old it is in years. So there are species of trees that are termed as ancient when they're relatively small for a tree, 150 years old. So some trees reach 150 years old and they are ancient. But some trees, yew trees for example, are not necessarily termed ancient until they get to 800. That is quite old. Now, our maturity in Christ is not determined by our chronological age or how long we've known him, but it's the extent to which we know him and are firmly rooted in him. I want to encourage you this morning, you're not limited by age. But as we come to know him, we grow and change in proportion to how dependent we are on him. And as well as being planted in Christ, I want to encourage you, not only have we been planted in him, but he has been planted in us. So we read in the Gospels about the parable of the sower who sows the seed on different types of soil and how the type of soil determines whether the seed will grow into a plant or not and how long that plant will survive. As we look to Jesus and grow in him, he makes our hearts like rich, fertile soil so that we welcome him in and grow in our understanding of him. And it's only as we come to him in need, in our reliance on him, in our dependence on him, that he makes our hearts fertile. We can't make it happen. It doesn't matter what we do. We cannot make our hearts fertile, but he can. And all he wants us to do is to come to him and to ask him to help us. Jesus makes it clear in the Gospels that many long to see and hear about him, but it is only those whose hearts are softened and changed that can receive him. We cannot produce this ourselves. Sorry, just turn the page. We cannot receive this or produce this ourselves. We need to come to God in desperation, crying out to him to soften our hearts so that we can grow. And then the encouragement is we will produce a crop yielding many times what was sown. God wants us to come to him today and this year and ask that he would soften our hearts, that he would cause us to grow in him, that we would be more dependent on him than ever before. It's seen as a strength in the world to be more and more independent as you grow older. Now, independence has its place in our development as when we're children and as we grow into adults. But actually, true maturity is about becoming more dependent on God and less independent. Our earthly selves need to die in terms of our way of doing things so that God can live most fully within us. So I just want to read one more verse and encourage you, and then I'll reveal what's in the bag. Built it up now. So I want to encourage you with one final thing, which is from Romans, and this is in Romans 5. I'm not going to read the whole of it, but just some of it. Therefore, so this is from verse 12 of Romans 5. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, Death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But, I love it when it says but in scripture, because you know something good is coming. But it says, but the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? I'm going to stop there. I could keep going. So death reigned through the sinful nature, through where we were. But I want you to hear this morning that how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life? God wants us to reign in life. We've been brought from death into life. What a turnaround. This passage tells us that where sin increased, grace increased all the more. We're now winners more than conquerors in Christ. Now, I want to reveal what's in the bag now. This was one of my favorite Christmas presents. In fact, it was just absolutely tremendous. I'm just going to show you. Now, you won't be able to read what's on there, but it's sort of a gold cup. And it says on there, winner. It says on there, winner. Now, I'll tell you why this is one of my favorite presents. Nevaeh bought it for me. So thank you so much, Nevaeh. But little did she know how special that particular word was for me. You see, each of us has things in our lives where we hear words from the enemy and we hear things that bring us down and drag us down. And God releases us through providing the right word just at the right time. And when I opened this, I think my face lit up. And ever since, I've just been so proud of this particular present, because I know that God makes me a winner in Him. And for each of us, we can be fully assured that He's made us winners. We reign in life. We are more than conquerors. Where there was sin in our lives, grace increased all the more. His grace is more than our lack. His grace is always more. God wants us to be fully assured this morning, whatever lack we perceive in ourselves, His grace is more. It's enough to bring us through and transform us. And it's always more than we know. Do you know we're powerless to change ourselves in any meaningful way? Whatever we face, we cannot do it. But in Christ, we can know that transformation. And He changes us to be like Him. Our new nature in Christ completely surpasses the old. And I want to put it this way. We are better equipped now to walk in the light and follow Jesus than we were equipped to walk in the darkness. To put it simply, we're better at being good now. We have more resources at our disposal in knowing Christ than we were good at walking in the darkness. Sorry, I said that really badly. We're better at being good than we were at being bad. You hear what I'm saying? Because of what Jesus has done. Not in our own strength, but in what He gives us. We resist sin and we refuse to believe the lies of the enemy. But we cannot do this alone. God gives us the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to minister to us and strengthen us as we look to Jesus. And the key to pursuing righteousness is growing in our relationship with God and becoming increasingly convinced that we stand on Christ, our firm foundation. Now, it doesn't happen automatically. We're not robots. We're more free than we've ever been. We're truly free because of Jesus. The enemy tries to bring us down, telling us we're rejected, worthless, and unloved. But God says the opposite. He's adopted us as his children. That adoption is permanent. He's raised us up to be with him. He's shown us that he values us more highly than we could ever imagine by giving his life for ours on the cross. And God loves us. The love of God is unchanging, unstoppable, enduring, and beyond all human understanding. Oh, that we might know the love of God afresh as a church family this year. God wants to overwhelm us with his love. He wants to sweep away our fears and insecurities. He wants to gather us up in his arms, and he wants to welcome us into his heart afresh. The world wants to believe in love, but every version of love that the world admires falls spectacularly short of the love of God that we know. It's only in him. His grace is more. We may have insecurities. We may have difficulties. We may be facing all kinds of trials this year. But all we need to do is go to God, because he supplies all of our needs. He wants to sweep away our fears. It says that his perfect love drives out all fear. As we come to him, as we come to Jesus, he wants to edify us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to minister to us. He wants to give us his incredible grace. Just as the band come up, we're going to respond. And it might be a time just to ask God. We don't need to do anything that's a ritual or any kind of method. We just need to come to the Lord and ask him to help us. So I'm just going to pray, and then we'll respond with a time of worship. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for your abundant grace. Thank you that your grace is more than any lack that we have in ourselves. Thank you that you've provided a hope and a future for each person in this room. Lord, that for each of us, we can know fullness of life as we come to you. And I just pray that whatever this year holds, Lord, you would fill us with your life. Lord, you'd help us to fix our eyes on you. Lord, that all distractions would fade and disappear. And Lord, we'd just be taken up completely with you. Lord, just do a new thing in us. Lord, we just come to you. We cry to you that you would help us in our need and in our desperation. We just come to you again and offer you our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.